So basically, we decided to start this meeting with a presentation about some issues that have been initially discussed on the mailing list and that we think is probably best to bring to the attention of the whole working group. This fixing the shortcomings of map-based approaches, it's not about any particular solution. It's not about the solution that will be presented after this presentation, but it's about maps. We have understood in the last year that maps are a very important piece of the solution of what the Aalto protocol would end up being. There are a few shortcomings, in particular related to provision bandwidth information, that it's probably worth discussing at this moment, at this time, before we move forward in the design of a solution next. This is basically what a map is, a priority map or cost map or an Aalto map in general, color map. Map basically consists of a map of the internet, actually quite famous web comic. An Aalto map has an arrow that tells you where you are. In this case, you are probably in Europe. And there's areas, colored circles, that tells you, for example, that for sending your data from Europe to Europe, the cost is green, whatever green means. Sending your data to Australia, that I think is the red circle up there, is very bad, it's red. It's something you should not do. Canada, North America, something that you can go if you don't find anything better. MIT is very good, as peering agreement with a lot of RSPs, a lot of unselfish seeders, tech capacity. So this is what we're talking about this presentation. I have a few slides. I would like to have discussion in the room about what we are going to next talk about. That is provisioning bandwidth information. Do we want to be able to provide guidance, Aalto guidance, based on something different other than topology? For example, provision bandwidth information, but not only. Well, applications may want to use it. We have seen from research work, from experiments, namely ONO and P4P, that localization in areas where peers have good uplinks, very high capacity, well, improvements are much higher than an average. ISP, on the other hand, may want applications to use that kind of information. ISP may prefer applications in their own network to download from premium customers with, for example, 10 megabit uplink, rather than going to Korea and getting the same data from us in Korea. We have been talking about provision bandwidth information since the very beginning. We have put it also as an example of information we are taking into consideration in the charter. Not that matter really matters, but so. We presumably do not want to roll it out at this time. Next. But what's the problem with that? What's the problem with provision bandwidth information? Basically, the problem resides in the IP assignment policies of some or most residential ISPs. So basically, IPs to residential lines are taken randomly, basically, from a pool of addresses. So a pool is assigned to a POP, for example, or a NAS, a network access server, and assigned randomly to users. So this means that, at least for residential ISPs, in the common case, you cannot tell between a user with for example, 10 megabit uplink from a user with 300 kilobits. So this means that matching the line capacity, perfect matching is not efficient for identifying the line capacity. Next, BJ. This is how two maps would look like. On the left is a map that takes into consideration, that provide guidance, provide priorities or cost. In this case, it's priority. Only based on a topology. It's a very reasonable map with entries that are basically /10/16 prefixes, So reasonable number of lines that tells you that you should go the first network with good priority, because that's, for example, a local AS. Should go to the second one, preferably because it's a local POP. You're basically staying in the same geographical area. Don't go to the last one. It's Australia. It's very bad. It's a reasonable map. It's a map that reflects topology and is something that seems to work. On the right is a map that tries to reflect, to give priority based on topology topology and bandwidth. So this is not providing bandwidth information. Is the commands are not supposed to be passed to the user. In such a case, to provide guidance based on provisioning bandwidth, you basically need, if the IP assignment is random, is not based on the subscriber class, you basically need an entry per IP, an entry per user. So if you want to provide information about all the users in your network, you basically need one line, one entry in the map per user. Or if you're lucky, like in this case, maybe one entry can, you have two or three or four users next to each other, and you can compact them, but in /32 or /30, doesn't make much, it's not much improvement. So that was the first part of the problem. If you want to provide guidance based on bandwidth, you need substantially, you need very big files, files with a lot of entries and entry per each user. And what complicates things even more is the fact that IPs are assigned dynamically. So, for example, an IP that 3 minutes ago was assigned to a user with 20 megabit uplink bandwidth could be reassigned in 2 minutes to a user, to dial-up user, or to user with alt megabit bandwidth. So the big map we have seen in the previous slide would basically become stale, outdated after a few seconds, after it's generated. So this is the second part. So the maps do a very bad job at providing guidance based on provisioning bandwidth. So basically because you need big files and you need to update those files very often. So next. So the question this is all about is, do we really want to provide information based on something other than topology? Well, the answer is yes, if we can do that in a reasonable way. We are not going, of course, providing big maps that become stale after a few seconds is not an option. But also designing complex mechanisms, for example, that require applications to always give away privacy, expose sensitive information, is also not an option. So what we would like to do is to find a way to provide such information, not to rule that information out, because we think it could be useful. We don't have real data yet, so probably Lars is not in the room. Lars would certainly argue that provisioning bandwidth is not what we're really looking for. It's not available bandwidth. It's important information that we are not going to take into consideration because it's real-time information. It's not good for Alto. But probably on a statistical basis, provisioning bandwidth is still something that could help applications in improving peer selection. So, next. Here are a couple of approaches that we can suggest, we can follow to provide that kind of guidance. First approach, if we want to stay with maps and use maps only, and I'm not saying that current proposals use maps only, but if you want to do that, to reflect provision bandwidth information, we need to modify the other part, the flip side of
problem.
So we need to modify the ISP IP provisioning policies. So for example, if a POP has a /12 prefix assigned, well, subpartition that prefix to reflect, for example, user subscription classes. So use the first 16,000 addresses only for very power premium customers, 50, for example, down and 10 up lines. Subsequent 64,000 addresses for second class, and so on and so forth. Next. This is how the map would look like. If you have information about this part of the map, detailed information about, presumably, your local network, well, the map would end up being very detailed in that specific area. Still a map. Next. Of course, there are cons. The pro, the advantage, is that we are providing guidance with something that is very, very simple. It's a map, and it's probably the basic, the building block of any foreseeable solution. The cons are that such an approach would require to change IP provisioning policies in ISP. That means change, basically, the infrastructure, and such changes could require huge investments and probably Alto would not provide enough an incentive for ISPs to change provisioning, the address provisioning policies to reflect that kind of information. Another con is that partitioning, yes, Martin, please.
Martin Stimmeling. I'm sure that you know that ITF cannot, let's say, tell ISPs how to partition the network. I know that your press release was just meant to make it for the record, that the ITF cannot mandate how ISPs actually provisioning their policies. That's something very important. So,
correct.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that would not mean mandating some partitioning. Just we give you this solution. If you want to use this solution to address also this problem, is providing guidance, blah, blah, blah. Well, this is what you have to do. If you don't care, don't do that. It's, of course, not mandating.
Rich.
Even if the IETF thought I could mandate provisioning, it's not going to happen. and keep in mind that one of the reasons why I'm agreeing with what you're saying. One of the reasons why we wouldn't do that is because we're running out of IPv4 addresses in particular, and anything that makes it so that it's more difficult to use IPv4 addresses efficiently gets to be really bad in our current environment.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Next, BJ. So, if we are not going to change the IP provisioning policies, well, we could think of changing the solution or doing something more than, or adding something to the map-only solution. So the idea here, this approach, and again, this is just an idea that needs to be elaborated, and or you can just, if you don't care, just throw it away. But the idea is to provide guidance in separate steps, provide detailed guidance in a second step. So the first stage, the user gets a map. That map gives high-level indication, high-level guidance, like prefer Korea, do not go to Australia, stay in Japan if you can. Second step, a more detailed service, the more detailed function, like, I don't know, a ranking function, an oracle, or whatever you want to call it, that provides detailed information on probably a query response service for the areas where more information is available. Would be two steps almost completely separate. You can do only the first step if you want. You can do the first and then the second step. But the link between the two steps should be something like an indication of the location of the second step, second stage, the server, second stage services that the application should query. So a map could, instead of just saying prefer Korea and avoid Australia, could say prefer Korea, avoid Australia. If you are in Japan, you can query this particular service to get more detailed information. And presumably, the service is the service deployed by the service provider, but not necessarily. Next. Graphically, you choose steps. First step, application has a peer list. It gets from a tracker, from DHT, from whatever. Gets a preference map somewhere, very simple preference map. And with that preference map, it refines the peer list at a very high level. It's a coarse grain refinement, but still a refinement. And maybe also gets the location of Oracle, of services, servers that it can further query to get the accurate guidance. Second step, an already coarse grain refined list with oracles, querying oracles with the IPs that are considered good after stage one, and the oracles, the ranking server, the whatever is the second step server, provides very detailed information to find the very best bidders. So, next. Pros and cons. Pros are that such an approach or a similar approach would not impact on ISP infrastructure, would not require a huge investment. And it's basically an incremental solution. If applications want to prefer to stop at stage one, well, they're free to do that. Stanislav would probably not implement stage two in his MicroTorrent client. He would maybe consider to implement that in the DNA product that they develop for legit content. But there are cons, of course. It is not as a simple solution as a map-only one is. The second step probably requires some disclosure of information that may be considered critical, sensible information. But that's it. I would like to hear it talk in the room, but it's Martin again. Thank you.
Come on, it's not working. Okay, that's Martin speaking. Going back to the last slide, please. Martin, Stimmerlink. Sorry, it's not.
Come previous on. One, I guess.
This system is. No idea. So, for the privacy, there's also like we have presented, I think, in San Francisco, the other approach is called H12, where you can actually preserve a bit more of privacy for the users. So, which is actually valid for the second step, where you query for the server with prefixes instead of complete IP addresses.
Next slide. So, talking about this, right?
Yes.
Oh, if you want to spend some more words about that, I mean, yeah, we are here to, you know, Lars.
Hi, Lars Eggert. So one thing I want to remember or remind us of, sorry, I'm not quite coherent yet, is that the charter actually doesn't talk about optimal. It talks about better than random.
Sure.
Right? And so maybe as an idea to throw in here, it would be enough, or maybe it would be a good idea in addition to what you're proposing to also share what the ISP doesn't want it to use. Right? Right now it's all about you prefer these here, right? And we're going to some sort of depth already to make sure that we're sharing good information. But, you know, sharing bad information, so, you know, don't at least don't do this, might already be better than random.
Yeah. If there are ISPs in the room that want to share the top, Rich, what do you think?
So, a few things. I'm not sure if this is better done on the server or done on the client itself, right? The client maybe is more, you know, is in a better position to, you know, find out how much bandwidth and if that connection is not working, you know, nuke
Absolutely.
That connection.
Yeah, we are not talking about available bandwidth. Yes.
Right. So as far as this two-step approach, right, this is what the current merger proposal already works like that, right?
Quite correct.
Right.
I think that the bit that still misses from the proposal you or Rich will be presenting later is the connection between the two steps. As far as I understand it, it doesn't tell you when to query a map and when you can query a ranking service. But I agree that, at least syntactically, or in the architecture, the two steps are there. I mean,
yeah, because you have the map service and you have the ranking service and endpoint property service, which would make this reflect this two-step approach that you're talking about. As far as what you talked about, the map getting stale in terms of provision bandwidth, I guess that depends on the churn and the availability. And I mean, I cannot really back or say that it really works like that or not. I'm just saying that this is a problem that BitTorrent swarms have today. I mean, you turn on your client, you turn off your client, you talk to a tracker. Maybe the tracker says, here's a peer list, some peers are dead. I mean, the client takes really good care of dealing with that, with all that churn that goes up and down, right? So I see value in doing this two-step. I'm not sure about, for me, maybe other reasons than bandwidth. I'm not sure about bandwidth.
I think the churn that really matters, that impact, is not the churn in a swarm, but the churn across different swarms. I mean, if you have a map you're using in one swarm, probably that map would be good or almost good for the whole life of that swarm. But 2 days later, probably the same IP addresses won't be associated to the same lines, to the same, will have very different uplink bandwidth, for example.
Okay. Okay. I'll let Rich go. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Rich. I want to pose this, but I've had a lot of concerns about this, and I think I had them a year ago.
Rich, closer to the mic.
I'm sorry. I was up till 2, so I'm not all here. So I had concerns about this a year ago. Let me see if I can remember most of them. I think one of the concerns I had was if I were an end user and I spent a lot of extra money in order to get faster upstream and downstream bandwidth, or uplink downlink bandwidth, and you know something on my behalf was going and telling the rest of the world, hey, you know, Rich has lots of bandwidth. You know, you should be his friend because he's going to really give you a lot of bits quickly. That may be the reason why I spent more money, or it may not be the reason why I spent more money. So I think there's, you know, there's a privacy issue, and there's also a, you know, what is the real user intent issue, particularly if, you know, some application's doing this on my behalf. And I think from an ISP point of view, I've always been worried that based on how we communicate even the provision bandwidth, that if I'm supposed to be a good ISP and I'm offering just slightly faster speeds than my competitors, you know, have I just drawn all the traffic over to my network and away from my competitors' network? And so, you know, now I'm like, as an ISP, disincentive from providing higher uplink bandwidth than others.
Well, it's up to you to provide that information only to your customers, do not to provide that information. Okay. I mean, a user running a BitTorrent client, is the user aware that his uplink bandwidth will be used by the application? Or if he's not aware,
right,
because he doesn't care.
So that's why, I mean, that's why I start off with this thing is, you know, I don't want to be opposed. I mean, if it's under the control of the ISP, then it's really shooting myself in the foot. And that's okay. I mean, I'm okay with, you know, I can do that or I cannot do that. Or maybe there's a good reason and maybe I'm just not thinking through some other case where I'm optimizing the swarm and I'm going to end up with happier customers. Or my high bandwidth customers will talk to my other high bandwidth customers and they'll see better performance. I mean, there are some positives to doing this. Those were just the concerns I had from before.
If I could just interject in this too, Rich, before you run away real quick. So, I mean, I think the way that Enrico's presented this has been very specific to a particular attribute of a line, which is the provision bandwidth. But, of course, the concern about network maps providing kind of line-by-line qualities of any kind, I think, is the fundamental architectural concern behind this. So, I mean, do you have similar concerns just from the direction we're going forward with this? about having anything that's going to be provisioned, like privacy concerns, I think are perfectly valid, I think, for almost anything we could think of that is, you know, on a kind of IP address by IP address basis. So do you...
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, thank you for reminding me
of
that.
Yes, that's...
Because there was something else I brought, and that Good. Was if somebody is spending, let's say somebody's spending $100 more a month to get extra bandwidth, that may be a pretty good indicator that their household income is much higher than other people. And so, you know, one unintended side effect of this could be, you know, if somebody goes and finds IP addresses that are marked appropriately, marked like this, and they say, well, if they have provision bandwidth that falls in this speed, that means that their household income is $150,000 or more per year. And, you know, and then you might do some different things with that. And that may be... that would be another undesirable side effect.
Well, you're assuming that the IP address identifies the user. It's not the telephone number. It's not the...
But maybe it doesn't have to identify. It's probably not a permanent identifier for the user, but at least it could be a temporary identifier to the user. And if you just think out in the future, you know, somebody gathering this in real time, sending it off to some ad marketing machine, and then, you know, within 15 minutes you go to a website affiliated with that ad network, and it says, oh, look, same IP address. You know, pitch. Okay. You know, pitch the high. You know, pitch
Fair
a high-priced product. Yeah, it could happen. Lesser things have happened. Worser things have happened.
Basically, what Rich said,
Welcome to the mic.
And of course, the old concern that we would have to reveal too much details about our networks, like the amount of overbooking. The number of bottlenecks and the position of bottlenecks.
Hey, it's working. Martin speaking. Well, we are trying currently with a Polish operator to actually use such information like bandwidth information, and they're interested in this. Maybe they don't have the privacy concerns or they haven't checked this right now, but we are playing around with them how we can use this and how this is beneficial either for file sharing or for live streaming, for instance, for peer-to-peer. Another point is that, well, we are talking about right now that those map approaches are not fine if you do IP addresses by IP address ranking. But I think it can be also a problem if you consider that maybe not all ISPs just assign static IP prefixes to their DSLAMs, for instance. And I know I just found, or Sebastian found, a protocol from a large vendor, which is called, I think you can ODAP, where you can actually dynamically reassign complete IP prefixes to other areas in the network. And for sure, they're not doing this just because of fun. For sure, they're doing it because somebody out there is using this. And that's something you probably should also consider. Isn't the network map too static for some other ISPs? But that's something the ISPs should answer. They cannot do this. Right? I don't know if they're using it or if this is real or just for fun.
We don't have an ISP at the mic.
Hi, Rich Alimi from Yale. I'd like to offer a third solution or a third approach here. So if the provision bandwidth is considered private information to the ISP and the user, one of the possibilities is you only give that information or certain or properties about that user to the user itself, and then leave it up to the user to distribute this information to others. So for example, you can imagine when it joins a tracker or when it when I get advertised through Peer Exchange, I might distribute some additional properties with my identifier myself, but I get to choose which information that is.
So you're saying that user gets its provisioning bandwidth information in an automated way?
Right.
And then redistributed it to other peers or tracker or whatever?
Right. And the ISP gets to choose which information is given to the user. The user gets to choose which information is chosen to share with others.
This is an approach we didn't take into consideration.
And one of the other benefits, then, is you no longer have a huge map. You're only conceptually choosing the pieces of the map that actually matter in the current usage. And you can share this still across swarms. If I have a P2P client that's participating in many, I just retrieve my endpoint properties once.
So I think what Rich pointed out is something that I was going to ask you about when we were talking about the merge protocol. You said there was no specification of when a coarse map is okay and when you move and say, now I'm going to use the ranking service, right?
Yeah, I just couldn't find it in
no,
drop.
No,
maybe
right,
it's there.
I think, yes, of course, I agree. I think the whole point is that maybe that's more up to the client. I'm not sure if we can really standardize saying the client should move from doing this to moving. I think the client is in a better position to say, do I care to get more fine-grained information or not? And if I want to get more fine-grained information, maybe the client is going to decide when is the good time or not to do that. As far as what Rich pointed out, I think one of the drafts in the agenda are going to talk about exactly that, where you do an endpoint property query and get information about yourself, which can be your coordinate, your whatever you want to think of, bandwidth, and it's up to the client to decide if they want to distribute that or not to other peers.
Sure, though I think fundamentally in this presentation there has been some sense, though, of the infeasibility of presenting a large network map. You need to do, you know, address by address differentiation. If you can't mask any of this away into prefixes and you're a large ISP, you know, providing a network map just, you know, in terms of its size probably has some challenges. You don't think so?
You're talking about a map where you have specific IP address information?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Well, but I mean, it's an important thing to say, right? So it's not merely a matter, I think, of client preference, which is what you were just saying. You're saying it should be up to the client to determine when it wants finer information and when it wants, you know, coarser information. But I think there are fundamental constraints we operate within as well. That's all I was saying.
I'm not sure we're saying the same thing, but yeah, I mean, a map with very fine-grained information per IP address would be very, very, very large.
That's very large. Yeah. It wouldn't just be a matter of...
I agree with that.
Okay.
I think we're done. Yeah, so basically, this just was meant as food for thought. That's it, I guess. We can move to the actual protocol.